Yeah, I mean, the burn mechanisms are largely mimetic anyway. Like, you know, so is it like the idea of like you're going to make a whole bunch of money by staking inflationary yield? Not necessarily either. So, no matter which way you look at it, these mechanisms have like a nominal effect on total price of coin. The main things that affect price of crypto coins really has to do more with like how big the community gets, how quickly. How much capital they're willing to deploy, how widely available is it, and then, like what is there to talk about exactly? Is there cool stuff happening on that chain? Is there not? Those type of things. So a layer one like this, I'd say at this stage in the game, like I suppose like deployment on Neutron's a little bit late right now because technically, I don't know how many things are coming out, but like let's say we have a bull market going into this next year. And then things sort of like settle down again at some point. It might be one of those that's more like a longer term hold, like not for this bull market, but even for the next, where you might see like a greater proportion of the like growth, perhaps. Because I think it's relatively early, right? So like there's not too much to do there yet. So it's right now, yeah. It's just purely speculating on the growth of the platform over the long term.
Yeah, I think that's broadly fair. I mean, one thing I think that's kind of underrated at the moment is like Neutron basically is sort of like the home chain of Wrapstake ETH in Cosmos. And there's already like Lido incentivized pools on Astroport. And so if you hold ETH, then I've not done like massive research on this, but I can't imagine that anything's coming close to 33% yield on ETH on Apollo Vaults at the moment. So like that's basically where I sort of hold all my ETH at the moment, and it's like when you talk about what is there to do, you know, like sure, like it's going to be great to see great apps that people are using all the time on a daily basis and all that kind of stuff, and I'm sure that'll come. But like, I mean, for me personally, like when I'm sort of managing my portfolio, it's just really nice to have like Cosmos gas fees to be able to hold like Lido Blessed Wrapstake ETH on Neutron and get sort of yields like that. So I just really sort of enjoy being able to sort of DCA into that pool. One thing just kind of go back to before what we were talking about with the staking issue. I think some people like consider staking a utility, and I think I always kind of used to until I kind of had to sort of more deeply ponder like the whole Neutron tokenomics. And it's really not, is it, to be honest with you? Like all you're doing basically is you're sort of staking it to kind of keep up with the inflation and obviously get the voting power. And so like Neutron sort of like flips that around, and you get the voting power by being in the vault without the lockup period, and you don't need to sort of keep pace with the dilution from the inflation. So you're basically getting the same thing. It just doesn't feel like staking. That was kind of like weird to me at first too, but actually I think when you sort of tug at that thread, there's like a lot of possibilities that come with it that can make for some sort of, you know, interesting type tokenomics in DeFi. Just an interesting point, like every time that staking issue sort of comes up.
How easy is it now to spin up a shared security chain if I want to make one?
It's easier than when we did it, I would have thought. Yeah, I think we were definitely the guinea pig on that one. Obviously, you've had Stride launch since, and there's been a couple of other applications for it. So I'm pretty sure it's like the kind of thing whereby, you know, it gets sort of progressively easier. But it's very much like new tech. There's a lot of hurdles to sort of overcome when we were launching. But I think the sort of the process will be better for us having done that.
Because there's always this kind of like concern that, hey, what does Adam do? And you know, is it going to be, you know, a big thing in the future? And how come market cap's not bigger and X, Y, and Z, right? But with the mixture of like Stride and this, like you're starting to see the kind of benefits of the shared security model, and kind of does have some element of value accrual to the to Adam in a sense. But it's not going to happen like instantaneously. It's something over the very long haul. If more shared security chains came up, because what I like about shared security and what you've told me about Neutron, and because there's a project I've been kind of dreaming up, and you might have heard some about it, but like The fact that you can create a deflationary token within the within the Cosmos Hub space, because you don't have to create an inflationary token, it's quite possible that you can create multiple store of value style tokenomic coins with Cosmos Shared Security without having to deal with the paying for security, paying via inflation. So that's it. That's really interesting to me, in that like, as a possibility, as far as like where a store of value token might reside ultimately. Where I think I'm a little bit negative on Neutron would be that it's not a like pure community genesis project. It's more of a, like, there's a lot of team tokens and stuff behind it and all of that. So it's not the exact same thing as like a Bitcoin or something like that with without a gigantic team allocation type situation.
Yeah. I mean, I would definitely sort of take that on board, but I'm not sure I would use sort of BTC as the analogy there. Like, I think maybe more sort of direct comparison would be something like a Juno or something, as like a more community orientated smart contract platform. I think, you know, there's nothing like Juno, Bitcoin, and there never will be.
Juno had team tokens, right, though, with considerable amount of like sale of those tokens. So that's
they did. But like, I'm just trying to think if there's a better example of a community owned chain that isn't a Bitcoin. Because for me, Bitcoin is just, it's a standalone. It's not even crypto. It's just an asset class in its own right.
Right.
So like, to sort of make these kind of comparisons, like, yeah, for me, like, I think the more obvious one would be like,
you need some kind of store of value assets within these ecosystems that is not a bridged ETH or bridged Bitcoin. That's the problem, right? So you need to have like something that has a store of value, sort of like limited supply type arrangement within these ecosystems, for sure. And it needs to be kind of like a relatively fair launch thing to get the most sort of like individual users to come and play with it.
Well, I'll go back to Juno. They tried that with Neta, right? Did you get Neta back in the day?
Neta? Oh, no. I know about it, but yeah, they attempted to do something of that type, and I don't think it kind of took off or got that popular, huh?
No, it didn't. It's like, it was, I think it launched at $2,000, and I think I saw people getting excited about it being $40 earlier on today. So yeah, like, I don't know, like, I'm not quite sure how you would sort of go about that. I don't think you can just sort of create a store of value asset out of thin air. And you're probably going to find that like the blue chips of this world are going to be those store of value.
That's why my thesis was that you can't just create it out of thin air. It has to have a game around it. So the biggest like theoretical app in all of crypto would be a gigantic crypto game. Not with the type of tokenomics you've seen where it's like pay to earn and stuff, but where the participants ultimately decentralize the network and increase value to the store of value token. So that's kind of my theory. And the people want to play a video game. Currently that video game is called DeFi. And therefore, like, look at Neutron, for example. The idea is DeFi activities of some kind happen on the chain. That leads to reasons why people might have the Neutron token. That is the reason why it kind of creates like a store of value for that particular economic zone, right? So otherwise, if there's no games to be played, why does someone have to hold the Neutron token, with the only expectation would be that number go up? So economic activity and like use of a store of value as some sort of like on-chain collateral, or sort of like has like a strong utility function that people would want to acquire the thing for some reason. That's the game. And I think you can abstract away all the DeFi nonsense and just simply call it a video game at the end of the day. Cause look at like Kujira, for example. Like, what do you do on there? You trade a bunch of random coins that don't do anything to get other random coins that don't do anything. And ultimately the theory is that like the Kujira token gets the indirect benefit because if people come to play the video game, they'll tend to buy Kujira also, right? That's the base of the game. But like I mentioned this before, it's like, you're not curing cancer on Kujira. Like, you're not, there's no app on there that you can't live without, right? It's just DeFi games with other DeFi tokens that are people using for other DeFi games. Like, you know, like you'll have Adam Kujira, for example, but and you can bid on it and, you know, bid on liquidations and stuff, but like you know, for that to be useful, Atom has to be useful for something, right? Otherwise, why would you want to even bid on Atom on Kujira if it didn't do something? So it's kind of like this, like there's a central core. There's a central core of utility, and then the most of the rest of it's just playing video games.
Yeah, I think that's basically fair. I mean, you know, if we started talking about like sort of the real world cure cancer use cases of crypto at the moment, it'd be like a pretty short conversation. But like, I don't necessarily believe that it needs to be anything more than this sort of magic internet money casino in the sky, you know.
No, I'm not saying it has to be. I'm just pointing out that that's what it generally is. And therefore, like, if you abstract that part away and just make that the game, you don't have to necessarily wrap it in all sorts of interesting names, right? Like DeFi right now is basically a gigantic video game where all the players are just pushing buttons and hoping that number goes up if they do this. And maybe they borrow against this and put it over here and make the number go up more there and whatever, right? It's just all game players in the system right now. And harnessing that is what every DeFi platform attempts to do, right? They put a launch pad, then they put a, you know, casino on there, literally casino on there, and then they put a DEX on there, and then they put whatever. And then everyone sort of like rumbles around these tokens and has fun with them. That's been the game after all. And occasionally you'll have something like Luna UST, where you have like UST is the primary purpose of the chain, or like Noise we talked about today, where on-chain randomness is the purpose of the chain. Or Celestia, where like this modularity data availability thing is the purpose. So you're getting definitely more purpose-built chains that can do like more like true like utility functions that could be built upon. But the vast majority of L1s, it's like why do I own Kuji tokens? Is because they have a beautiful interface, and people that want to go play and on the casino there are going to have a lot of fun, right? Like it looks beautiful. Like that's the value proposition. They build cool shit, and I if I want to play with my Chuck E. Cheese tokens, I can go play over there with them, right? Like, and you know that like if you build those user interfaces, you build that fun environment, people enjoy playing around. But like to say that, like say for example, Kujira, has there been anything built there that materially impacts the world around us besides the game inside the system? The answer is no, right? There's nothing in there that affects the real world. To me, it's just a video game. But then again, most of crypto is a video game. That's just what it is, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think it can feel like that sometimes. But do you know what? I think sometimes like we underrate like what we've created in crypto so far to date, you know? Being able to transfer peer-to-peer and, you know, have like, I mean, like we all sort of transact on a daily basis in Cosmos, and like you never lose sleep about basically losing funds.
No, and I'm not saying video game is a disparaging term. I'm just saying like the economic activity right now is entertainment and, you know, making number go up. But that doesn't mean that doesn't necessarily create a lot of utilities that can be used for amazing things. So I don't want to just like, yeah, I'm certainly not the guy that's going to underplay like the value of crypto and everything. I'm just pointing out like, a lot of layer ones, the DeFi video game has been the core focus. And that's the, like, you know, where do we go from here is the next question. Because if we have infinite numbers of L1 video games, you know, but like somebody has to connect to the real world stuff. And so there are some companies doing it, like Chainlink is. And so there are a few people that are trying to create some very like specific utilities that I think should be good. But anyway.
Yeah, I just think the whole thing's basically a game, isn't it? Like when you're sort of like collecting your stake and rewards and compounding and, you know, chasing APR here, there and everywhere, it's all a game, you know?
What narrative are you chasing? Which thing's going to pump next? You know, like, and then they go on centralized exchange and they pump the thing on leverage and stuff. Yeah, it's just all like a trading video game, sort of.
But it's an underrated game. I think even like sort of like the games we played, like I say, just basically navigating our way around Cosmos and staking and sending tokens and stuff like that. I think it's a pretty good game that we've all sort of created that actually does have utility. And, you know, just the fact that so many of us actually come back and use it day in, day out. I think that's actually, you know, a decent game that the system has created already.
No. A lot of people that play in crypto realize, like, I could sit and play Diablo 4 all day. Or I could like go figure out how to get this airdrop and go do this and go do this and go do this and like trade here and then like look at some FIB extensions and buy some things here. And the same exact time you spend on a video game, you're actually like, you know, can sort of gamble your money and, you know, beat the odds in the casino, so to speak, right? Like that's sort of the concept. And with all that economic activity comes more liquidity. And, you know, then when large amounts of liquidity show up, the you know, a lot of people bought early PCs, by the way, like Apple and IBM PCs and stuff. A lot of people bought them just to play video games, I might add. And but that led to the gigantic growth of like Apple and Microsoft and everybody you know today. And not all of it was just like corporate activity, right? Not all of the things that people bought computers for were to cure cancer. In fact, today, most people's smartphones are used to just fuck around, right? Like, so there are some utilities that form from them, but I agree, like there's nothing disparaging about saying it's a fun video game. I literally think that's fine. It's perfectly fine as a gamer myself. I'm just saying, it's just like, layer ones and stuff trying to differentiate themselves by, you know, creating a slightly better version of this video game. And that's been evolving over the years to where like it's gotten better and better. I think Injective has sort of done a pretty good job in like, you know, sorting out how their video game's going to work and, you know, trying to like pitch it to people. But yeah, and so many of these are different Cosmos chains, which is good because then like you get more IBC activity, you get that base layer gets bigger and bigger, and then more people want to come play on Cosmos, which then indirectly benefits all the Cosmos chains in the aggregate, right? So the network effect of more people building Cosmos chains is just more people just generally fucking around here, which is fun. So that's kind of how sort of like look at the big picture view, right?
But did you say you had like a specific idea for a game to do this? Or is it more just like a general vision that we need to the game, you know, the key to mass adoption is gamification?
I think the key to everything is not calling all of this DeFi. Like the thing you're doing, the market participants doing is playing. And in the process of playing, you achieve certain goals. One of those goals is economic activity, transactions on the network, because you go and you get, you know, you dig up some rocks in the video game, you extract some gold, you take that gold, you know, you go and trade it for platinum. You take that platinum, you build a sword with it. You take that sword, you kill a dragon with it. All of that sort of shenanigans that we saw in MMO RPGs, that's all just economic activity. And it's a type of proof of work. It's a human work that's involved with playing the game itself. So whereas like proof of work is a very pure thing when you talk about like, say, Bitcoin mining or Zephyr mining or something where it's like you're literally having a computer do a computational transaction. You can have human beings do a lot of that too. So it takes a certain amount of work in, say, World of Warcraft to go dig up gold and then get a certain amount of it, sell it, and then like convert it to, you know, whatever, you know, armor you're trying to buy or something. But just if you think about the environment, what are you doing? You're getting certain things as money. You're getting certain inflation rates for how much you want to have the monetary, like how much gold do you want to have in that video game. Then you have money sinks, things you can spend the money on. And then we have problems in crypto, specifically with decentralization. Every Cosmos chain you can think of slowly gets more and more centralized as the top validators get bigger and bigger, right? So how do you create a game theoretic where you, like, just simply encouraging validators not to get bigger doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense from a capitalist perspective. People want the most people to stake with them as possible, right? So how do you prevent that centralization effect? There's got to be a couple of elements, several elements. One is the game that the validators play have to be more interesting than simply like, I'm just going to become the biggest one. Two, there has to be some sort of like randomness so that like there's indirect benefits from being smaller sometimes, but not all the time. Because you can't have just a pure Sybil effect, right? Where if all I did was take Coinbase validator on Cosmos and just split that into 10 different validators, I can kick all the lower people off the active set. And now like, you know, you know, I basically can Sybil this entire system. So Sybil resistance, I think, has to be done from a gaming perspective. It cannot be done by any other mathematical technique, but that the benefit to the holder of the coins, the benefit to the validators, and the benefit to the entire ecosystem, and ultimately a store of value token, has to be accrued from a process that leads more towards decentralization than centralization. And right now, we don't have that in the crypto space. I think the reason for that is we haven't designed the right video game. It's that simple. Like, you know, like, and once you get the right game, the game will actually serve the purpose not only of theoretically entertainment and economic activity, which we already have in crypto, but the only other thing it does is it adds, the game has to have a side effect or even a primary goal of actually decentralizing the network. And that would have to be like a mixture of random events and participation events by the users and the validators and such to achieve that end. So that depending on the nature of the like that month, let's say, maybe to kill Dragon 3, you need to go and find a validator that's been around for at least 6 months. You have to stake to them and you have to like get boons from them and points and swords and weapons or whatever. And that's the only way to kill the dragon for that month or something like that. And take out the dragons and the gold. It's like, the point is, it's just abstract away all that shit. You can make the game whatever you want, actually. And you could actually create lots of different games on top of the platform that do similar things, but can incentivize essentially decentralization. And that whole concept, I think, is the only way that this ever gets done. Because really no other sort of like mathematical proof or whatever has demonstrated that you wind up with like decentralization. Even look at like the Bitcoin network. Mining pools are fairly centralized, and the number of companies that actually produce the actual ASIC miners are relatively centralized. And now it's gotten to the point where only ASIC miners can really make any real money off of it. So of course that's its, you know, point of centralization, because it's harder to run a Bitcoin miner just on your CPU, right? So things sort of tend towards centralization until they crash and they die. That's usually how it works in evolutionary systems as well. Like that's why the dinosaurs are gone, for example. You get giant and you get sent relatively too big, and then you wind up like crashing and burning. So I think there's lessons in terms of how to appropriately centralize and decentralize in there are lessons in evolution. There's lessons in biology, and there's lessons in sort of like video game theory about getting all the participants to accomplish something. And I think that thing that you have to get everyone to accomplish, not necessarily because that's the conscious goal, but the subconscious goal should be, decentralization, if that makes sense. The deeper meta goal would be that decentralization happens, but the players on the space are not necessarily thinking to themselves, hey, wait, I can't wait to sponsor decentralization. If I do this, I'm going to make things more decentralized. No, the most people don't have any fucking clue what the point of validators and decentralization actually is. That should not be of their concern. Under the hood, though, decentralization has to increase over time for whatever network builds on top of it. And that's a tricky thing to solve for, right? And I think the game idea would be, you basically have several features. One is you want to be able to have the game scale to infinity. And one of the ways that happens is the new participant in the game cannot be penalized for being new necessarily. The oldest participant in the game, however, cannot be fully penalized for being old. Meaning, a good example would be, okay, a video game, MMO game happens where like the end of that season, you have like a dragon you have to kill. You have a bunch of people that have to kill the dragon, right? It's like World of Warcraft, EverQuest, whatever. These games all have this kind of concept. So you have a guild, you all fight together, you kill dragon. What happens? You get the coolest items in the game. And as you go up higher and higher in the rankings of that thing, you can get the highest items in the game. But then, a few years goes by and a new sort of expansion comes out. What do? They can't necessarily make it necessary to have the old items to get to the new content. Otherwise, none of the new people are going to want to do the new content. And then what happens is the old players slowly whittle down and get bored of the game, and they don't have any new players coming in to sort of fill those spaces. So now the number of people that have the proper equipment to kill Mega Dragon are like basically nobody. So what do they do instead? They just do Mega Inflation. They create inflationary events where every expansion, like you can go to the you know, like animal that's sitting outside the town, kill it, and you'll get a sword better than the previous you know, version of the game's highest dragon sword, right? So what they do is they make the previous items like drop on the yard trash of the new expansion, and then creates a whole new game again where everyone's sort of like improving their paper dolls all over again. And they do this over and over again. And World of Warcraft does it, and EverQuest did it for like 20 some odd expansions, just crazy. So every time, you know, you just basically just deflate away all the previous equipment. I'm sorry, inflate away the previous equipment to be, the stats are meaningless kind of, right? So the new stats are 10x the old stats and then 10x of that. So you get to these weird things. Or they put in some like game theoretic that like, oh, the dragons can't be killed by that because it hasn't been blessed by the potion of whatever. So then you have to only get it from the new items. So in this sort of way, like what you have to do is a game has to be created not as a pay-to-play type of thing, or the so-called play-to-earn games, which is basically nonsense. Like that's where you take some VC funds, you pay out some money to people for literally like with actual cash, and you're handing them out, and people use their crypto, and then they go play the game, they go sell it, and then it goes and dies eventually. Why? Because as long as there's money paying everybody, like Axie Infinity, everything goes up. But as soon as the bucket of money in the middle runs out, the whole thing crashes and burns. So the barrier to entry for new entrants has to be via inflation. Inflation means like you go up to the, you know, this vendor and they'll every day and they'll get you 10 coins for free. It's like the airdrop idea. You literally go to this thing, you get 10 coins. You go do that task, you get 10. If you add these two coins together, you get 20 of those coins. And with 20 of those coins, you can get three of these coins. And like you play around and just fuck around the whole time and just do interesting combinations. And so what happens with that is over time, you wind up with a group of people who are used to sort of playing some game with mostly free tokens. So the only fee of the game would be maybe transaction fees on the network. So let's say you're on Neutron. Playing the game would generate fees while you access your wallet to do the different activities. So it's really, really cheap, low barrier to entry. You don't have to be rich to play and whatever. It brings in a lot of new people. And then what happens is with those all this free tokens running around, depending on which combination you have, what kind of group of friends you can build, maybe like a pool of folks that are, rallying around a hero. Like I stake my fire tokens to Slinks down there, and she's going to be the hero of the month. And because she has certain characteristics that are interesting to kill, you know, the dragon Y for the month of, you know, April, then she's able to kind of go and if she has enough like people sort of delegating to her, then she'll be able to kill such and such dragon. But the next month, it'll be different. It'll be a different set of parameters and different kind of hero you're going to need. And her account's not going to be good enough. And so you have to go to somebody else. And maybe along with this process, there's like an element of certain validators you might have to stake to get certain benefits, right? So you've seen this with validators where they'll give like airdrops to people if they stake with them and shit, you know, these stupid things. So you've seen all the different validator games people have played. We have influencer validators, people that like will go on YouTube and be like, hey, come stake to our validator. We're an influencer on YouTube. Or you'll have other people that will have like, we're going to have a new dApp, but you know, you'll get an airdrop if you stake to us, right? So people have done all these games before, right? So you just take that gamification and you just make it normal. You make it so that like the influencer crowd gets to play. You get it so that like the heroes get to play, the people that want to play the main characters, the people that just want to just hang out and like get free tokens and have fun, they can play. And then there's usually a randomness element involved with all this too. So just because you do all of these things doesn't mean you always win. And that's where like on-chain randomness comes in. And the benefit of that is like, it's just anti-Sybil by nature. So let's say, for example, if a validator, the bigger a validator gets, maybe they more attract certain negative energy that makes it more likely for them to get kind of slashed or lose some yield or something. On the other hand, if they are not there long enough, right, like they create 100 different validators of the same, you know, let's say like one company makes 7 validators, right, like and they become really powerful. You have to figure out ways to punish that somehow, right? So you have to have anti-Sybil. And so to do that, you'd have to have like the validators be more or less playing the game to some extent. And like their actions are part of the game theoretic as well. So there's definitely a way to create like a proof of stake system where you incentivize a setup that's not quite as straightforward as it is now, where now what happens is you have like, let's say Cosmos set, and the number one validator people stake to or close is like Coinbase, for example. Why? Because a bunch of people on Coinbase, you know, say I want yield on Coinbase. And then so they Coinbase will stake it to their validator, and Coinbase's validator gets gigantic because Coinbase has a gigantic audience. On the other hand, in a game like this, you would not necessarily have the biggest validator get all the advantages that it does now. Like the largest validators might get less yield, and versus smaller ones that play the game more actively, right? So playing the game, also we'd have to encourage bots. Typically, like there's this idea that you should discourage bots. No, bots are basically just bunches of transactions on your network. So the game would have to be built to like encourage bot traffic. And that's part of the transactional value of the network. And that can create all sorts of interesting schemes. So, but you see my point, like basically you're talking about taking all of the problems of DeFi, the problems of proof of stake, the issues with proof of work, wrapping it all into one big enchilada and turning it into some gigantic fucked up game that's really simple to play, but all the market participants can get in easily. They can get a bunch of literally free tokens at different faucets and start playing around and, building their sort of activity. And then all of this activity leads to, one is decentralization, and two, it leads to ultimately a store of value token that is built around a series of other coins. So your primary token would be the store of value token, which gets value from the activity of the network. Then you might have like a series of three tokens around that one, and then each of those has a series of four tokens around that one, and the people that are playing the game are just, you know, fucking around with all their different coins, and you create essentially an economic activity that looks just like DeFi today in many ways, in that all the types of games you think of in DeFi you could play here. But on top of that, when you have a coin system of game for the game, you could build games on top of that. Like for example, you have a chessboard, you can play checkers or chess. You have a tabletop, you can play all sorts of tabletop games if you have dice. So once you have a certain series of like, you have a certain series of kind of tools, and you have kind of a tabletop of things that can happen, then on top of that, you can play all sorts of other games. Once you know for sure that decentralization is happening, you have on-chain randomness, and you have a coin system that does interesting shit. So Slinks might say, ooh, you know what? I want to make a little sub game that involves the Slinks token. You can get more of a Slinks token if you stake your soy tokens and your home tokens with me, and I'm going to give you airdrops and such, and you're doing, and she's doing this because she wants those two tokens for some reason, because she wants to kill like the big dragon 4 years away from now or something weird like that. So you can create like timed events that are encourage the market participants to come up with all sorts of scams to get people to stake with them, because the probability that she'll get higher yield on her, maybe her inflationary token, her yield goes up maybe if she acquires more of the free tokens or the participants, and she's being incentivized to stake that to validators that maybe are performing better or lower on the set or playing the game better, right? The temple of, so imagine all the validators like little temples in a video game, and you kind of you align yourself with one or the other. And so there's a gigantic sort of like puzzle that can be created with all this. But right now, SocialFi, which is like friend tech and whatever, that's sort of got the idea. Like, okay, I'm gonna buy a coin that's, you know, related to Slink's YouTube channel, and I'm gonna be able to, you know, she pumps, you know, the thing, and you know, for some reason I'm gonna buy this. But the problem is like with NFTs and also Frentech is like at some level, if the price of the coin gets too expensive, the newcomer is like, why the fuck do I want to buy $100,000 NFT? It doesn't make any sense. Like the newcomer is excluded from the game. And that's why NFT projects just generally just fizzle out. Because if you look at how Pokemon works, everyone can play the game for cheap. They come in, they pay their $5 or $7, whatever the hell it is, they get a Pokemon packet and they can go all start playing, even though they don't have any fancy cards. The value accrual mechanism for the fancy cards is the game economics lead to a situation where people want the fancy cards, and then eBay and whatever, you can buy like Pokemon cards for $100,000 or something, right? So the value accrual mechanism for that is the game itself. Same story like here. You don't want to make it hard for the new entrant to come in, and NFTs most definitely have that problem where like the new guy is like, why do I want to buy an Ether Rock or whatever? The thing costs $20,000. You know, like this kind of idea. So you have to create like a low barrier to entry to the new people. That's a key mechanism.
Interesting thoughts. A lot to unpack there. Like it's like when you were just talking a moment ago about sort of like the incentivization model. It was almost like you were talking about Astro Wars. I don't know if you've heard about.
Yeah, they did this on Astro and the Curve Wars, right? So the different tokens had an impact on the game that was being played, which is governance plus like, you know, incentivizing yields to different liquidity pools. So precisely like that. But even more so like just pure gamified, like, you know, so, and by the way, the game would ultimately incentivize things like LPs as well, so that you have liquidity for the various, like the store value tokens within the ecosystem.
Yeah. I mean, like, to be honest with you, I was sat there for most of that thinking like, do you know what? I think you're just actually talking about DeFi and actually like, rather than Slinks, like wanting to go and kill that dragon, she just wants to make money. And that's the dragon.
Exactly. You got it. So the thing is, though, right now we call it DeFi, and the normie's like, what the fuck am I doing here? Whereas if you turn that into an actual game, all the features you think in DeFi, all the primitives, all of the functions we think of, and 100% gamify it, don't even hide it as a game, just call it a game. And but under the hood, there's some important game theoretics happening that contribute to the decentralization of the network. And contribute to the final core value token that emerges from that network, both, right? Because what's the main problem you see, Soy, in DeFi? So what happened in the bear market? Transaction volume cratered into oblivion, right? Mm. So our problem is we have the 4-year halving with BTC, which is sort of the game theoretic there. And that's a timed event, which is the halving, which is basically purely arbitrary. But it was timed approximately for human cycles of like behavior to some extent, and you can notice that like the entire crypto space plans around the halving, right? Like literally, that's what event happened. So the dragon that you have to slay is hashing BTC, and it gets harder every 4 years, right? It's as simple as that. So that's a pure video game theory, and in that case, it's a deflationary theory. In other cases, you'd want an inflationary theory, and both need to be present. You need a store of value that probably has a deflationary or fixed supply aspect, and you need inflation, however, otherwise you don't get a growing economy. And video games have clearly demonstrated that. Every video game you ever go to that has lots of expansions and has survived, World of Warcraft, etc., has an inflationary economy, period, end of story. If you have a deflationary economy and the number of like swords in the game are going down every day, and the number of dragons, you know, are you know, going down or maybe increasing, who cares? The point is like only one person can win the game, right? So to have like this WAGMI kind of thing where everyone wins, everyone has to enjoy the game economy. And if that results in a store of value token, great, right? That's the side effect of it. So you have like these multiple design features that are built for adding new users, creating a store of value, creating transactional value for entertainment purposes, not necessarily for anything else, right? Like think about it, like the internet, if you look at it today, is almost all porn and Netflix or some combination of the two, right? Like the vast majority of the fucking traffic on the internet is like entertainment. It's not science, it's not curing cancer, it's not none of that shit. It's pure, it's not even as interesting as DeFi. It's truly just porn and random movies. That's the whole point of the internet right now, almost entirely. So that just tells you like entertainment brings in lots and lots of people, and it brings transactions. And what was missing in DeFi for the past, you know, I don't know, since the beginning of DeFi, is there's entertainment, but it appears to only come in spurts in the case of bull markets and stuff. The ability to attract people during a bear market to play your game is an extremely difficult problem that most of the protocols have failed to solve, if you've noticed. I mean, transactional values truly become abysmally small during the quote-unquote bear market. How do you solve for that? You know, you solve for that by having the game be interesting all the time, not necessarily only be interesting in, you know, when BTC is going up or whatever, right? So once people realize, hey, this thing is fun all the time, you know, then there's maybe a possible scenario there where liquidity flows into that system for various reasons, for just paying the transaction fees or whatever, and you start really, really small, and then it explodes over time. That's my theory anyway. So that's the in the nutshell. And I've gotten a little bit better and better at saying what I'm trying to describe here. But it's a meta with a meta with a meta. So the problem is like most people that don't understand crypto very well and have not sort of seen the evolution of all these different forms, proof of stake, proof of work, and, you know, Nakamoto coefficients and all the other kind of fun stuff that we think of, have a hard time understanding what the fuck I'm even talking about, right? It's like, why are you even talking about this? Why do you care? Why is this important? And it's there's a lot to unpack in terms of this gigantic enchilada of shit you got to go through. And it's hard to teach all of this, honestly, because it takes so much time to understand the nuances of all of it to get to that final thing. And like, even to get a team of developers that are like, oh yeah, I understand what the fuck you're talking about. Like, I need to find that group. But I think this is a very buildable thing, considering how inexpensive it is to build now with shared security, things like that, or just spin up a new chain and produce this sort of thing. Could be very interesting.
Well, why do you need a chain? Like, can you sort of build this as like a dApp?
The reason to have a chain is because the whole point of the system is to enhance decentralization, and it would have to be built like from scratch to do that with all the validator sets designed to sort of like be part of the game. If that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I think that like in terms of sort of like the general gamification of things and that angle, like I see where you're coming from, and it's like with respect, it's not like a completely novel idea. Like we've had the likes of like DeFi Kingdoms and stuff like this, right?
Those have been different. The point was the game was meant to be like drag in customers with a play to earn sort of model. Play to earns don't work. I don't think they work at all. Like they always fail. So it is different. Like this is designed to create an actual store of value token because of the transactional value of the network. It's the game is more just like the way you get there. Whereas with things like DeFi Kingdoms or Axie Infinity or all these things, these are meant to be a game to attract lots of users to pump VCs bags where like a lot of initial like investors and stuff would like pay people essentially to play the game. So it's really more of like pay to play to bring in users. And they basically paid for users. This is the other way around. This is you're giving away the actual like game tokens, like Chuck E. Cheese tokens for free almost. And you're bringing in users that are just wanting to kind of like, I don't know. It's a different model, and I don't think it's been done yet. Not that I know of. Unless someone has an example.
Seffy, good morning.
Hey, man.
What is going on? You guys need to control Seffy. I woke up, I listened to him talk for 40 minutes straight about 17 different tokens, and none of them are going up in price. However, the ones in your bag, those ones are going up. And if they're not going up, you need to make them go up. And sitting here letting Seffy talk about other things that aren't those tokens will make them not go up. Okay, so let's get on topic. We're all getting pretty rich. Our tokens are going up. Soy, get back to work and make two of my tokens on your chain go up. Okay, we need to be talking about those. I heard you slide in Astro, and Astro was very good job. Okay, I'm going to message your boss and say, give that man a fucking pay rise, okay? We need the tokens to go up. Up, up, up only, okay? Not talking about this game stuff. Not talking about imaginary digital coins that don't exist yet. We want to talk about the digital coins that do exist. And those digital coins need to go up, okay? Get back on topic, boys and girls.
Hey, all my coins are going up. That's why I'm sitting here fucking around, man.
No, they need to go up more. And then once they go up more, we need them to go up more again. Up
there's like
only.
Six people in the space. Nobody's paying attention to
the why coins. Do you sound like
people
you're,
here because you talked about
why do you sound like you're speaking to us from the middle of the outback too?
Well, I probably am. I'm driving. So, I'm not rich enough. See, if my tokens kept going up more and we talked about them, then I wouldn't need to drive to this dog shit field.
You could be flying,
okay?
Yeah.
At 7:35 in the morning, I'm driving to the Fiat line because I'm only pre-rich. I'm not rich, rich.
The hope is that soon you'll be able to take a private flight to that Fiat mine job, right?
Exactly. The reason why, firstly, there's no one here, Seppi. You've got a dog shit coin in your fucking title, not dog coins, okay? First problem, all right? Second problem is you're talking about things that people don't care about. Digital currency that doesn't exist. People want to talk about the digital currency that does exist. All right, you need to update the title. Okay, here you go. Ready, Seffy? We go Cosmos Dog Season. Get rid of Atom. No one cares about Atom. No one's buying it. The only reason that the price went up is because some people.
Cosmos Dog Season. There it is.
Yeah, no, we're not done yet. We got some tickers in there. Okay, you need to put the hua hua, the hua hua. All right. You got to put the puppy in there. You got to put the Cerberus in there. I don't even know how. Like, I think it's got like a Z in it, I'm pretty sure. And then you got to put the Zephyr in there, okay? You need to talk about the coins that we own, all right? Make them go up. Very, very important. That'll get the people in, okay?
I own Atom, you fuck. You're over here flooding Atom. Talk about all the coins.
Mr. Fox, I'm sorry for your loss for owning that shitcoin. I really am. But Adam's not the big boy anymore. No one cares about Atom anymore. Like I've been helping onboard people, and about three people have been like, oh, should I stake some Atom for airdrops? No. Everyone wants the Dex coins. They want the dog coins. They want the tears. You know,
weird.
I mean?
We must
no
know
one,
very
no
different
one's
people.
Asking for that.
Everyone I manage to get into crypto plays it safe, and they're like, I'll just stick with Atom. I don't want to touch that other.
No, I'm talking to a bunch of Solana and Ethereum people that are onboarding for the dogs.
I'm talking
and
about
all they
people
want to know
who aren't
is,
in Web3 at all. Yeah. That's probably the difference.
Yeah, it's like why are you letting them down and giving them bad advice by buying
No. I'm advising other coins, but they think
Timmy, people who are not part of Web3 need to be in dog coins. It's number one onboarding. Like, what are you doing?
No, like Atom will go up. We all know that, but no one gives a shit about it anymore. Like, you know, no one's excited by it. No one's like, oh yeah, Atom to $1,000. Like, where did all those people go? You know. So let Atom do its thing, right? Onboard all of the people that we can through all of the other various means. You know, people want to get in there. You know, they're excited about, you know, Astroport, Kajira, Osmosis. You know, they want to get involved. They want the dog coins. So. You know, don't come in here like creating an Atom space, Seffy. Come on, you're better than this, brother. I know that your bags, you've got heavy bags of Atom. I know you do, Seffy. Okay? They will go up. You don't need to talk about Atom. The way that Atom goes up is you let the devs fight, and then eventually one of them will win, right? Like one side of the dev cartel will win. And then
all get into a ring and try to kill each other.
No, 100%, right? Like that would actually make Atom exciting, and then I might buy more than four. What will happen is, like, one side will win. I think we're seeing, like, that side currently winning, okay? And that's fine. They will get to enact their vision, and if they're smart enough and they only, like, take a certain percent for themselves but do something good with the other percent of the community pool, then the price can probably go up. But I think it's a while away from that yet. But it's just a boring coin, Seffy. That's why, like, no one's really here talking about it. It really is a boring coin. I don't know how to make it exciting anymore. Anytime I try to get it, like, to talk about it.
We covered all the fun coins this morning.
Ah, see? I got rugged again because I'm Australian. I just muted because I was talking a lot. Does anyone else want to comment? Anything exciting? I saw some people FUDding Puppy again. It went from like 50 cents down to 35 cents. Like, it's over. It's done. I work back up. It's like 42 cents again. But like, what the fuck are you degenerates doing? Do you not value and appreciate your money?
Yeah. So you got yourself loaded up with Puppy coins already or what?
I bought when I tweeted the other day. I was like, I tweeted about it for like 6 hours. And I was like, there's a better dog coin on the dog chain. And then no one was like, oh, it's puppy. And I was like, fuck it. I'm going to buy this thing because it was like 1 cent or 2 cents or something. So I just went and bought a bag, not even a big bag, right? Like a few $100, give or take. Not even in the thousands. And then I tweeted. I was like, all right, I bought it. And here's the reason why it's better. You've got the Huahua chain, right? Has governance, got a team allocation, trying to do Whoaverse and all this other jazz. It's got apps on it that no one cares about, right? And then you've got a coin called Puppy. It's a cute little picture. It's got like 21 million supply, no governance, no inflation, no like team allocation. It was like mostly airdropped. And then it was seeded with a shitload of liquidity against the Huahua token. So I was just like, it's just a better fucking meme dog coin. It just straight up is. So I tweeted it. And then I woke up the next morning and one of the guys from Skip had built a website. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? There's now like a puppy price checker website. and then they added like the market cap and then they added the swaps. Just like, what the fuck is going on? Yeah, so it's not even like I got a massive bag. It just like, but it did a 20x. So I was like, well, okay, fucking degenerates.
Well, you couldn't exit with a massive bag anyway. So
that no, makes sense. The thing is, you can. Because you can swap like thousands of dollars. Yeah, because it was seeded with like a shitload of liquidity against the Huahua token. And then Huahua token. See how fucking shit, like no one wants to buy that thing. You can't even say it and it's got an ugly picture. And then Huahua token actually has like 600 or 800K or more worth of liquidity on Osmosis against like Osmo and Atom and shit. So like people can actually like exit with like reasonable size if they do it cleverly. Like I'm sure there's people that own like hundreds of thousands of Puppy. I have no fucking idea. Like, and I don't give a shit. Like, I just knew like when I bought it that it was a better dog coin in Cosmos. Like you got Cerberus, right? Cerberus. It's a dead chain. That's what makes it funny. It lives on Osmosis, so inherently it's just shit. It's an ugly three-headed dog of a dead chain with like limited supply that was like bridged over.
You're
to Osmosis.
An ugly three-headed dog, Rama.
Exactly. And then you've got Huahua. Huahua that like no one can say its name. It's got like
dude, no. That one I need to jump in. Only you cannot say his name. Earlier you said like Huo or something. Huahua. It's literally just Huahua without the ch. It's just Huahua. Pretty easy. Maybe it's word for the Australian accent, but
yeah, exactly. Hua hua. Like,
yeah, that's
no
what
you
said.
Like,
hua hua.
It just
I was like,
dog.
What is this thing?
Yeah.
I do it to piss people off. Hua dog.
There's a few that I do because I think it's hilarious.
It is.
Yeah, so you've got the hua hua. And then I was just like, wait a minute. And then there's Puppy, right? Cute, fluffy. It doesn't woof, it arfs. Like, arf. You know, super cute, limited supply, none of the bullshit that comes with like normal chains, blah blah blah. And now it just needs to be set free. Yep.
You're saying that wrong?
Yeah, the puppy doesn't bite your fucking ankles either. Nobody likes Chihuahuas in real life. You know, it's very strange to pick that dog breed as your
homies. It's Chihuahua way. You have to say
hello, Curious Jay. Hey, brother.
You know, Rama, when are we going to launch a rule? meme coin. We need to launch a Rue already.
I wanted to do a Rue NFT collection, and I was thinking like it'd be really cool to have like, you know, a cute little Rue, not like a big angry one, right? So you could have a cute Rue, and then you can have like various backgrounds, right? So we can have like Ayers Rock, we can have the Sydney Opera House, the Sydney Harbour Bridge, like Bondi Beach, you know, a few others, and then it can have like accessories, right? As all NFTs do. And then I was just like thinking through the various accessories it could have. You know, you could have like a pet crocodile, you know, it could have like, you know, the guy, that's not a knife, this is a knife. Like it could have that knife as an example. Like, so I think I might do it. I just need to get like rich enough to hire an artist.
Just talk to Dawn, he'll figure it out.
I kind of want a jacked-ass kangaroo, the ones that flex.
Oh, so you're saying like have the cute kangaroo, but then also have like part of like one of the traits be like jacked or like angry. Yeah,
like a gym bra, mm-hmm. jacked ruse.
Oh, like a gym baru. Ah.
We'll all just be drinking Rama. The accessories will just be all different types of alcohol. Proper Australians.
I definitely think that one of them has to be a can of BB, like 100%, right? So, all right, thumbs up, thumbs down. If I was to get someone to do a Rue NFT collection, and we say we do like, what, like 3,000 to 5,000, and we'll do like, what, a couple of bucks each or something. And then, yeah, thumbs up. All right, I'm going to have to do it. Okay.
Do the free thing. Do the like the wallet that's free, and then do what.
Just don't do any AI generated bullshit.
No, it'll be authentic shit. Yeah, yeah, no AI stuff. It'll be authentic. I think I'll airdrop everyone. I'll airdrop like big collections except for bad kids. Whitelist everyone except for bad kids holders. I think that's going to have to be the play. I fucking hate bad kids. As much as they're like, you know, great for Stargaze and Cosmos. I just think that they're very boring. Like the collection itself and the creators.
There's no one else think they're fucking creepy. They're more than boring.
Yeah. I try not to like, you know, it upsets people when I talk too much about it. So I think it'd be funny if I like whitelisted a bunch of like popular collections, but like, exclude your wallet if you have a bad kid in that wallet. I think that'd be hilarious. And then, we'll do like, I don't know, like 1,000 stars or some shit. What's that, like $5 or something?
All right, give me a second. Let me move my bad kids away from my wallet.
I think you can exclude wallets that have ever had a bad kid. So,
Wait, that's not fair. Just burn
them all to the ground. Most toxic community in all of Cosmos.
I agree. I think by and large, bad kids holders are extremely toxic. They're always like putting each other down and putting down other community members. Well, they're mostly devs, Timmy. That's where I wasn't quick enough
to be clever, but I was going to try and say something to put you down right there.
Robert, what about people who they still get the airdrop if they put their bad kids on the market? How about that? Like, off with you.
If you list your bad kid for 10% less than the current floor, you get 10 free airdrop.
All right, I'll do it right now.
And you'd still
watch
make
the, watch the moon 500% tomorrow.
I'm looking forward to a world in which Cosmos Twitter is just everyone's profile pictures are just kangaroos and we can't tell the real Rama from the fake ones. That's going to be really exciting.
I still have my corporate photo, the AI suit one, like Rama on Telegram. My corporate Rama, you got to bring that back somehow. I liked that.
Didn't that happen? Yeah. Corp needs a liquidity plan, I think. I think
Corp's sitting on like 600 or 800 or more Juno, and the board still controls like
a couple
all of the Corp supply.
A couple other assets as well, so, right? If I remember, I feel like I looked somewhat recently. I think more than just Juno.
I don't know, unless someone sent that. We got like Juno Wind Juno in an LP that's actually like, I think that's like still reasonably pegged, and it would have been like auto compounding for a while. Sefi's got his hand up, so I'm assuming he's on the phone. He doesn't raise his hand to speak. And then it's got a bunch of Juno staked, which is like actually accruing like a reasonable amount of rewards. But I don't think it had other assets. We didn't sell any Juno, and they were like a dollar each at the time, I think. It's back up to like 57 cents or some shit, right? So like, you know, Corp Treasury's chilling.
It's actually up to 67 cents today. Today was a good day. Fuck. Happy Cosmos
67.
Season, everyone. Yeah, happy Cosmos season. Let's go.
Yeah, well, that's why I like we're talking about this stuff, because we got Sefi away from talking about some other random shit, and we started talking about our tokens and the price going up.
Sefi told me if you hold a Rue NFT, you get a free prostate exam from him.
Now that's utility.
You know he wants the answer right now, but he can't.
Brings a whole new meaning to up only.
You deserved some laughs for that one. My mic was muted.
No, I was laughing. I'm driving, so I'm like trying not to touch my phone too much at the same time.
I'm attempting to do work on the side. What did I get myself into with this? I actually hopped off for like an hour or two of calls at one point, and then unmuted my computer and heard Sefi's voice. I was like, oh, we're still going. Okay. All right. Right back in.
So if we did the Rue collection and then we minted it out, we obviously have to do like Rue DAO, right? And then Rue DAO is going to participate in DeFi cross chain.
Yeah, let's go.
All right, I'm going to petition some people to start working on the Rue collection. I'm going to have to think of like a funny name for it, but we'll get there.
Can you front run Don so that you completely overshadow his collection?
No, I think Cryptonium Maker is going to make me rich anyway. So I think that would be a bad idea. I think let him have his 5 minutes of fame. And then from there, you know, Rue collection probably won't be till. I think I'm going to start promoting it. Rue Mint live February 2024. Build the anticipation.
The perfect Valentine's Day present.
Boom, there you go. So one of them is going to have a rose then, isn't it?
I like the idea of you as a sort of romantic Rama. It's, you know, very different. I do want there to be a detective one, like, you know, sort of your original kind of chain detective ego.
Whatever it is you're building, I'm rooting for you. Okay, I got to go.
Oh shit. Curious. Come on, brother. I like it though. I like it. All right. Very good. So
I expect everyone to get the Zephy wallet when it comes out, by the way.
Yeah, and let you steal all
the money. Do I need to put my mnemonic in there or what?
What's that? Sorry.
You go, Rama.
Oh, I was just saying, do I need to put my copy paste my mnemonic in it? Is this like how you get everyone's Zephyr?
That's what I said basically, and let you take all my monies.
Yes. Yes and yes.
You know what? Better to you than a scammer who won't even talk to me, you know?
Yeah, you better the scammer you know than the scammer, you know, that's anonymous.
Stockholm syndrome is real.
This is why I like being exit liquidity for my friends. So like Rama tells me what coins to buy. I then buy them. He then dumps on me. It's perfect.
Well, to be clear, I don't dump. All right. I strategically exit. There's a difference.
I have been exit liquidity for like two generations of humans by now.
I'm constantly exit liquidity, like whether it's money or time. I'm giving it away. Oh shit, it's time to order some food and a coffee. One sec.
So, but I think like the last week or two, like, of course, like to some extent, everything's been pumping a bit. Maybe save for like some of the older coins, like your Litecoin and, you know, things of this nature. But this week's been a good week for the Cosmos, obviously. Practically everything's up like 20% or more, something like that, which is a good sign, right? So everything kind of like liquidity kind of flowing back in and people having fun and all that. It's good. I was going to point out, like, I think among the lower market cap things, Stargaze has a lot of room to grow. So I've had my Stargaze coins forever. And I think, like, compared to most market caps of the things around, it's still relatively small. And yeah, I mean,
I think Stargaze needs, like, it's currently got, like, you know, Finn and Ambito's wrap minting. But, like, it needs to capitalize on the current hype in Cosmos. And it needs, like, a nice collection to mint. I think there's going to be one coming in the next day or two. But it definitely needs a collection, like, in the next few days that's, like, you know, nice, authentic art, not AI-generated. You know, something fun. I don't know, pixel related or whatever, but like it needs a collection to mint now. So then people can be like, oh, like, you know, I've got these Stars tokens or I'm in Cosmos. Like, oh, there's NFTs too. Like, oh, cool, I can go mint. Like, you know, build a bit of hype and, you know, get talking about whatever that collection is to, you know, get people interested in it. Because, like, you know, buying bad kids is, you know, all the devs do that. The only people interested in buying bad kids are devs. Whereas, you know, new people to Cosmos probably want to, like, mint a new collection.
Let's not forget the Ethereum researcher contingent of that kid. You know.
But they'll just sell it to devs in the future. Rama, eventually,
like you don't own enough bad kids. Sound a little salty.
I own zero bad kids and I'm fucking happy about it.
You keep telling yourself that, Ruman.
Why? I've done like multiple 10Xs, 20X in the last week. And bad kids did like a 2X.
Rama's worth tens of dollars now.
Yeah.
You know, the man is rolling in it.
Just because you couldn't afford one bad kid for that 2X. It's okay. We still love you.
Just have to remember that Juno happened. The poor guy. You know, he tied himself to that for a long time.
Poor guy.
Hang on a minute. Is this the guy that just quit at working at Atom?
Yeah, but what you have to remember,
listen to him. His price has gone up 10%. Listen to him chirping.
I mean, the thing is, Rama, you didn't get paid, and I did, and that fundamentally.
No, I did. I got paid to work on evolutions. Mr. Jake looked after me, but from the DAOs, I didn't get paid.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Whereas I, you know, I got to milk the community pool, which is obviously preferable, right?
Exactly. Yeah, didn't receive any funds from the community pool, and that's a very different type of money. I think. When someone, you know, pays you to work, it's nice. But when you get paid from the community pool, you just sit back, you know, legs up, crack your nice fresh bottle of wine, top shelf, and you just say, ah, yes, now I'm living the life.
He showed up here to talk shit with us, right?
I mean, I've quit now, so I'm not part of it anymore. So I can reveal the truth behind the curtain, which is, yeah, I was just there.
Question I have is, like, how come I do all this shit and all you guys get paid?
Put a prop on the forum.
I'm gonna put a prop, you motherfuckers. I'm gonna get the biggest fucking prop ever. Watch.
Do it. I mean, like, this is my main thing is, like,
you should actually. You're 10x better than Cito. Sorry to cut you off, Bendy, but, like, just being honest, because you're joking there, Seffy, but yeah.
I'm not joking, yeah, by the way. Like, one of my main things when people are like, oh, what, AA DAO this, AA DAO that, whatever. It's just like, other people should put props up because other people surely will do excellent work. And I really believe that. And, you know, we need more people to share the load, and, you know, spaces like this are great, but, like, you know, if people are going to put time in, people should be paid for work. And if people are proven to do good work, then they should be able to get funded without much problem, because, you know, particularly specifically around Atom, there's no central authority to come and help you. Whereas, you know, for a lot of other things, there will be. So, you know, if you're wanting to shill Neutron, well, there's a, you know, Foundation and whatever that could help you out, or, you know, there are other chains have similar kind of things, right, where they've got kind of centralized entities that can support you, but Atom doesn't. So I know there's a lot of stigma with like asking the community pool for money, but that's all we've got. So if we're really serious about talking about Atom and trying to make something go, and to be honest, I think that's beneficial to the whole ecosystem, not just Atom, people should be asking for support, and we should be supporting good people. So yeah, sue me.
I'm not like snoring at you. I'm snoring at how fucking boring it is. Oh, we lost the community. We need people to talk about. Make it exciting. All right. It's exciting. I think the most exciting thing was like 848 when it was like, oh, is it actually going to pass or not? Oh my God, the suspense, the swings, the back and forth. That was actually exciting. Just put more props like that on the forum.
I would like a betting market on Atom governance, because that would be exciting as fuck.
Actually, I talked to some people about making that, so it's in progress.
I mean, because I'll continue to put Cosmwasm props up.
Not just for Atom governance, but yeah, there's going to be some Cosmwasm props up soon. I can't wait. Let's go.
And then it's airdrop season for everyone. So we all get promised various tokens from you know, Mr. Quan.
Yes, I think everyone should put props up. I think more people should be paid for essentially doing nothing. Mostly community, though. Like, guys are just tweeting. They should put a prop up for community funds as well. I think this is good.
100%.
Good thing.
100%. I think.
In fact, you know what I should do? I should basically blackmail everybody. Pass this fucking proper, I'm going to dump my bag and then see what happens.
Yes, this was also a good idea.
Going on strike, right? It worked for what they're called. Soy's mates, Confio. Just threaten to go on strike and then that's all good. Or you could do the notional thing of have a multi-sig that then just gets compromised, and that's also pretty fun. I haven't tracked where that proposal was up to, but there's loads of, you know, really cool degenerate stuff we could do with community spend.
Fun, isn't it?
Like, literally no other ecosystem has this kind of, you know, level of like incompetent entertainment. It's amazing.
Decentralization through distraction. But it's actually, I don't want to talk about it too much, but it's a really funny thing. It's like, everyone's like, oh, decentralization. Oh, it's so decentralized. No, it's why fucking nothing gets done. And then you look at like Neutron as an example, who have fucking quite centralized team, really strong foundation, amazing BD. And what are they doing? They're just fucking shipping. They're creating partnerships, creating relationships. Token price goes up only because they're actually doing shit and not like, oh, should we change this parameter from 0.1 to 0.2? No, motherfucker. All right, you shouldn't change the parameter, regardless of what it does. You know what you should do?
We don't care.
Talk about your token and why the token price should go up. Remember, the topic of the discussion, token price goes up, is the only thing that matters. The only important
metric. This is why
You missed Soy failing to be able to articulate why anyone should buy Neutron, so that was quite fun.
Oh, you weren't here for that. That's right.
Someone was just like,
oh, it was a layup. You know?
Yeah.
It's easy.
Oh, it wasn't like a three-pointer. It was easy layup, and he missed.
It was like open net, perfect cross right in front. You know, he's midfield, already past the goalkeeper, you know. And something goes wrong. No, it wasn't that awful, but it was funny.
I will do it. Okay. So the reason why you should buy Neutron, okay, because the seed investors, who are no doubt very, very wealthy VCs, right? They bought it like, I don't know, 6-9 cents or some shit. Okay. Token price is currently what, like 70? They ain't gonna sell for a small little fucking 10x, okay? They're not here for a measly 10x on a couple of 100,000 or a couple of mil, right? What is that gonna do for them? They're multi-billion dollar organizations, and you think that they're going to settle for a measly little 10x on a few mil, right? Fuck that shit. They want the 100x. They want the 1000x. What are they going to do? They're going to pump the fucking bags and make the token price go up. It's going to go to a few dollars, and then they're going to sell little bits. They're smart about how they sell. They don't dump on you. VCs want their bags to go up, and they want to get rich, right? That's why you buy Neutron, because the VCs are going to make the token price go up, and then you just need to sell just before their sell, and then happy fucking days.
Wise words from a kangaroo.
Isn't that what I said earlier?
Yeah, but he said it with more
I can't
energy.
Remember. I don't know.
More degen sort of fury to it.
This is actually like, I got to run a pretty big workshop for a new customer today. Very big, important customer, like a few days before Christmas. This is pumping me up. I'm feeling fucking jacked.
Do you enjoy your work, Rama? Or are you just nervous about banking full time on crypto? Why are you still in the fiat mind? Is it a good gig?
I get paid really well, and I don't earn anywhere near the amount of money that I do in fiat mind for crypto.
Yep, that's fair. So.
This was a conversation I was having the other day where I was like, crypto can't pay me enough for the insecurity it provides compared to what I can earn in the real world. So why would you go full time, right? My view on why you should buy Neutron is because just imagine if the hub, instead of being built by idiots, was built by Lido, and that's what you have.
Yeah, and I think one more important part on this, and Soy hates it when I say this, and now that they've given them tokens, I think it's going to happen even more, is like eventually Neutron is going to outgrow the hub, and then Neutron is going to have enough apps and enough revenue that it can secure its own validator set and not need the hub's validator set. And then they leave, and they don't even give a shit that they gave them like, what was it, like 10 or 20 mil worth of tokens or some shit. They're going to laugh at those amount of tokens because Adam's not going to be able to fucking do anything with them anyway.
That's my 33 million worth of tokens that I, but it's 33 million that we, that, well, I got for Atom. But yeah, I agree that ultimately I think it's like 4 or 5% of the vote power. So it's not going to do much.
Yeah, it's like literally Neutron's just a better version of the hub.
I don't like that I joined this space and you guys flood my, and you guys flood my bags, man. I own Neutron as well, though, so.
I just like shitting on Adam. It's a fun thing to do. Like, it actually makes it exciting. If everyone's just like, "Oh yeah, Adam, token price gun," you've got to counter it. You've got to fight it a little bit, you know, because then it actually gets.
I think the idea of a betting market for Adam governance and other chains in Cosmos really is a good idea. Was that you that said that, Ben? I know a couple of people have said that actually. Just I've heard over the last weeks or months, but it'd be interesting. I don't know who said that.
The thing is, though, it'd only be interesting like maybe once or twice a year. Like the only times it would actually be interesting is like when someone wants to put Cosmosm on the hub.
No, but what if you think a little broader? So what if there is a long-term prediction in that says sometime this year there will be a prop on chain looking to change X, like change emission rate or total token cap, some big like.
But you'd need to bet on the outcome of that, not just the prop existing, because anyone can put a prop up for like what, $2,500 or something, and you'll be able to do that for like half that amount very soon when the token price goes down.
Yeah, well, I guess you'd slap on a parameter like has to reach quorum or something, right? But I don't know. Yeah. Also, I think potentially, you know, maybe we'll get more and more of those events, more than like two a year. Who knows if it remains relevant at all? I can see it happening just because of the very con that we focused on a lot here, which is its lack of like centralized leadership. That inherently gives it the potential for contention and drama and entertainment.
That all sounds very exciting. What do we all feel about dog coins?
I'm a puppy, Maxley.
How much puppy do you own? Are you a puppy oil prince?
I mean, you know, I'm going to need bigger kennels if those puppies ever grow up. I bought maybe $100. So it's, you know, I'm well up, but it's one of those things where it's kind of like, to an extent, moon or bust, right? With something like that. Do you really care about making a couple hundred dollars? Probably not.
No, I think I think the puppy needs to be set free. I've heard word that there's like IBC channels and stuff being created. There was some hype around like getting it on Osmosis and pairing it with like Osmo and stuff. I think once the puppy is freed and it's easier to purchase, it might be able to get more people into it. But like, if you think about it, if it like, you know, I put out the puppy plan, like when I first tweet about when I bought it, right? I was kind of memeing, but it's kind of coming to life. Like once it's on Osmosis or Kijiro, you can actually apply to get it listed on CoinGecko. And there is no puppy ticker on CoinGecko. So like, I'm not trying to like shill it or anything. I'm just talking like straight facts. There's no puppy ticker on CoinGecko. So if there's ever a fucking dog coin, would puppy be it? Right? And it's currently at like 8 million market cap. And there's a shitload of dog coins out there that have like good value, you know, Doge, Shib, you know, Bonk, whatever, that have weird names. They're dog coins and they're in the hundreds of mils, right? Who is a Hua Hua, Hua Hua? Is it like what, 50 or 60 mil market cap? Like, what if puppy's set free from the Hua chain? Why wouldn't it do more than, you know, another 2 to 5x from here, right? Like, puppy at a dollar is 21 mil market cap. And there's way more shit coins out there that are way worse, that have way higher market cap just from speculation. Would puppy not do something like that if there is hype in Cosmos for dog coins? That's the question.
I mean, also, you know, with puppy, you've got, surely a lot of them are going to be sat in inactive wallets of people who got wrecked in the last bear, right? They're just, you know, they're not coming back into circulation.
Why? I have no idea who the fucking bag holders are, right? Like, there has to be people that own hundreds of thousands of puppy, right? Like, you know, you're buying it for fucking probably less than a cent if you were degenerate enough to buy it in the bear market. I don't know. I saw it and I just fucking hit the buy button. Like, less than $1,000, whatever. I just fucking bought some. And I was like, oh, look, this thing's actually fucking going up. Okay. Like, there's going to be people who probably have hundreds of thousands. I don't know. I don't give a shit. I just knew that the fucking ticker was good. The image was good. It was cute. Of course it's going to go up if people want to buy dog coins. It's logic.
And it has the same number as Bitcoin, right? So it's got good memic value.
Well, yeah, but I'm a little bit disappointed. I was informed this morning that because it's being used on White Whale's DEX, it's actually burning puppy. And I think that this is very wrong and it needs to stop.
You can't burn puppies.
Yeah, no, this is why we need to get it off. It can't continue to happen. We shouldn't be doing this to the poor thing.
I hadn't realized that whale was so inhumane.
Yeah, they just like to turn everything into ash. It's kind of fucked up. But my point is that it had 21 million supply. But because there's been so much trading volume, they've been slaughtering these poor puppies. And there's probably substantially less than 21 million now.
Sounding a better investment by the day. Thank you for the financial advice.
I never said anything about financial advice. Don't be a fucking degenerate and put money in the stupid thing that you can't afford. And if you do, and it goes down, you deserve it, you fucking loser. I'm joking, by the way.
So I'm trying to farm the Lavana airdrop, right? And I'm there going, oh, I've got to use fucking leverage trading and not get wrecked, which is just horrendous.
Speaking of which, everybody should go buy some rune like now. That'd be great.
Are you down bad, Timmy?
Oh, you guys weren't here earlier. I have a rune long open on Lavana that's kind of near liquidation point. Pretty small, so we've been joking about it. But yeah, go unrelated. Go long rune on there. Lavana is interesting. I think it's pretty cool. It has some kinks to work out, and like its fees are pretty high, but the way it handles like updating positions and just general tracking of positions is pretty cool, pretty unique. I'm getting lots of laughy faces. You guys not Lavanna fans? Or?
I like it. As long as I'm making money, I like it. And then as soon as I start losing money, what will happen is I'll start looking for issues with the platform. And then I'll pick out those issues, and I'll make them a lot bigger than they actually are. But for now, I love Lavanna.
Honesty at its finest.
Yeah, I realized today that I love Nolus because I made a load of Osmo on it from a lease that I took. I've got no idea how good or bad the platform is, but I made a lot of money on it, so I was very happy with it and was like, oh, everyone's sleeping on this, but I've got no idea if it's any good.
I guess this is where I have to say that I love puppies, which sounds fucking terrible, doesn't it?
I've always suspected that you love puppies.
I've used Lavanna. Jonathan's constantly like messaging me, trying to get me to give him an address, so he can be like, give me some of his Lavanna token or something. And I keep refusing. He keeps getting angry at me. The reason why I don't think it needs a token.
I'll give you an address. You can give him. I'll DM you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no worries. So here it is. And he's like, oh, did you get them? No. The fees are also way too high. Like, I think the fees are crazy. And they also just like adjust parameters randomly, like without telling traders, which I don't think is cool. You can't like adjust like trade parameters without telling people that like impacts their fees and, LP rewards and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I have no idea how the kind of liquidity provision bit of it works. Because it's almost impossible to track your position, right?
Wait, sorry, was that a Lavanna question? I might be able to answer that. I was doing something else, but
yeah. So if I provide liquidity, let's say like I stick, couple hundred dollars worth of Bitcoin in, right? How do I track how that's faring if I'm providing liquidity in there?
Well, so on your like dashboard on your earn page, you see the basic stats. You're not providing like 50-50 liquidity. So there's no complications in impermanent loss or anything. It's literally however much Bitcoin you put in plus whatever rewards it says you've accrued since then. It's pretty straightforward.
Not quite because you're betting on traders losing. If traders win, you lose liquidity.
No, exactly. And so in that case, on that screen, it'll show you a negative number for like hold on, let me pull up the exact screen. Hold on. Let's see. So if you're on the earn screen, it'll show my holdings at the top, your position, right? I guess you would just so withdrawable yield. If that's positive, then that's how much you've earned on top of whatever you put in.
But my initial capital's at risk, right? Because if traders keep winning, my initial deposit goes down, right?
Theory.
Not in theory, just yes. So the reason why they lowered the leverage on Osmosis was because traders kept winning, so they had to lower it from 10x to 4x. Because I would drain the liquidity.
But part from what I understand, please do correct me, Rama. One of the reason, well, maybe not reason, but related to why Lavanna's funding fees are fairly high, like double digits usually, if not triple, is because they've taken some of that burden off of the liquidity providers and put it on people on the other side of a trade. So when traders win with, say, a long, more of that winning is coming from shorters as opposed to the LP providers. That's like a super high generalization, as I understand it, and I could be wrong, but I think it's like mitigated with the way Lavanna is.
The funding rate and the fees from that is generally low in comparison to like what people are leverage trading with. So most of the liquidity, if a trader wins, comes from liquidity providers.
Well, wait, we must be on totally different pages. If I go to Bybit or BitMEX or something, the funding fees there are like, 0.00 or 0.1, maybe maybe a single percent APR if like things are really imbalanced. On Lavana, they're like 20%, negative 30%. Are we talking about different things?
That's the funding rate for going long or short, yeah. Right? So then you get paid for your position, but it's a percentage of your position size. So like if I open $100 short and the funding rate's 200%, then the fees are going to be high, but it's not going to be high in comparison to the $100 position that I took. It's going to be cents.
Yeah.
And I guess the maths of this is that if there are more losers than winners, then as a liquidity provider, I'm going to make bank because effectively I'm the house. And if there are more winners than losers, I'm going to get wrecked as a liquidity provider. And I think that, so this is probably my biggest issue with Lavana, is I don't think that that is very clear, because I think that it looks and feels a little bit more like LPing, that you're just going to put some capital in and you can kind of watch it. Whereas actually it could move significantly more in a more volatile manner than than LPing the same sort of token on Osmosis would.
Yeah, I suppose.
I didn't know LPs ever made money. I thought that basically on every platform the LPs were a quick way to. I don't understand. I mean, but the Lavana one, I mean, you're kind of betting on traders losing over time, which is, that's pretty kind of a safe bet.
Yeah, and I guess to your very original question, Bendy, the manual way to do it would just be, remember how many, for your example, Bitcoin, the asset you deposit is Nomic BTC. So keep track of how much Bitcoin you put in, and then on that page under XLP holdings or LP holdings, depending on which you put it in, it has a value at the bottom denoted in the base asset. So for Bitcoin, it'll be USD. It also, well, no, but yeah, I guess that's not super clear, because then it's denoted in USD and you have to then do some extra math to look at Bitcoin price now versus then.
It was interesting because I started using some Solana stuff, and one of the pages on that literally was just like, you would have made more money if you'd have just held these tokens rather than doing what you're doing here. And like, at least I thought that was transparent. Like, it was a really useful dashboard.
Also, your specific question there is far clearer and easier to track if you're not doing one of their like inverse perp swap type things. So for example, I have a position open I'm looking at right now where the liquidity I'm lending to the pair is USDC. And so it's showing me my holdings amount in a USDC value. So I'm able to easily just go, okay, is that number bigger or smaller than the amount I originally put in and by how much? But as soon as you're using one of their kind of inverse perp swap ones where the collateral asset is actually the quote asset, yeah, instead of the base one, it gets a little bit more complicated, which is actually some good feedback for them. I'll try and hit them with that.
See, I try and be critical of something, and it ends up just being good feedback. I can't even do FUD properly.
You gotta take more classes from Rarma or Pokachu intern.
I mean, Pokachu and intern and I have our 100 atom bet, so I don't know that he's in. I don't know that he's gonna play nice with me.
Sefi, take control of your space.
So this has been interesting, but I got out here somewhere to take care of some errands, and I get back in my car and the fucking thing won't start now. So I'm like mesmerized by what to do about this thing now.
Oh, see, Sefi, I told you the karma would come back. You didn't listen. You should have apologized to Coach.
You brought this on yourself.
I'm looking around me. I've got people parked to the left and right of me. I'm like, if this is a battery issue, I'm like, who's going to jump this fucking thing? I don't even know what the issue is right now.
Just tell them you're a doctor and you're late for a surgery. They'll help you.
Tell who?
Whoever's nearby.
What? Oh, it says that I've got a low battery. Where the fuck did my battery go? It's a brand new batteries. Bullshit. Great. Anyway. All right. Well, I better drop this and go figure out how to solve this problem then. Okay, guys.
Good luck. Yeah. You should apologize to Coach, because more bad things could happen.
This is a karma problem, you think?
Definitely.
All right, I need to go find a
tweet. You should just tweet, I'm sorry, Coach, and tag him.
No more context. Yeah. It might right some of the cosmic karma imbalances you've created.
All right, then. Okay, see you later. Bye.
Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of trash is under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Motherfuckers walking around here looking faceless, trying to make a living selling friendship bracelets. Dead ends dragging out the max amount of payments. Red down days got them acting all bankless. Yo fam, what? Check these tokenomics. They probing this bear, flexing broken honest. I had to lay my soul down, I'm just roasting otters. And then to end a long day, 11 bowls of chronic. Never known the politic, I was born to frolic. It's been my policy to pollinate all over the plot. We got a lot of apologists jumping in at the top. We like to measure their velocity before they hit rock bottom. Over impossible loss, it's all moss, and I'm liking the odds. Fondue in the morning, forming mycological bonds. Flick the cap, yo, the road is highly involved. Flip a coin, diary falls. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Trying to figure out the max amount of DNA stacked in non-toxic just to get a better place. Smacking on the hostage like this shit is play for keeps. Clowns, white knight, and all these Maybellines. They call it implausible when model after model keeps on ripping off the coat and going full throttle. Beats tearing apart your community. All these low-hanging fruits bearing zero liquidity. Got a planet in reach, coming standard to each. I'm on the back 10, stargazing after the siege. Commanding all the management to grab a few seats, and then we'll round up the beasts and send a messenger east. Y'all better sign a release when I'm bumping these beats. Hands up if I got motherfuckers drumming the streets. Yo, we got a few dubs, we got a couple defeats, and if you're coming for the king, you better have some of each. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the verbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape him under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play ring around the rosy while the thunder is served.
Channel Spaces.